call me Beggy Barton. Top five just to ride the pine, I be starting. We going to the garden. Had I been a marksman, took me forever, but I finally hit the target. We going to the garden. Slick type jargon, better cut the checklist to get into the bargain. We going to the garden. Plans uncharted, no more stalling. Time to get started. Now we going to the garden. If you would have told me this a year ago, I would have said it was a miracle. I mastered the game like I'm kidding, so hold on, cause here we go. We going to the garden. But everyone that said I couldn't, every underpaying booking, everyone that prayed that I would one day lose my foot and took it on the chin and kept pushing. Now we going to the garden. I came from the bottom.
Live from the landing strip, it's the 328th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. It is WrestleMania week, sir. Yes, the best wrestling week of the year.
Christmas.
Oh,
wrestling,
yes.
Wrestling Christmas,
indeed. So we have a bunch of previews to do, not only the granddaddy of them all, the show of shows, but we also have NXT TakeOver. We also have New Japan. Fucking whatever else they're doing on Saturday. Hall of Fame. A bunch of shit. A lot of stuff is going down. And you, my friend, you're going, right?
Yes! My backpack is right there on the couch. I packed on Monday. Then I unpacked and repacked yesterday just to savor the moment. I'm ready. I've been ready.
Well, we all know how much you love to pack.
Yes, I'm always packing.
He likes to pack.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we're going to get right to it.
Yep.
All right. Who's already there with us ready?
Porsche. What's up, Porsche? Scott, who's supposed to be
hurry your right bitch
now.
Ass up and get over here.
And then Hector. What's up, Hector? He says all only right. Two. Yes, only two. So, yeah, unfortunately, Arnold had some issues with the baby, but everything's good. So, yeah, that's good news. But he wasn't able to make the show.
Scott was trying to get here also.
Scott was supposed to be here.
But he hasn't packed yet.
Yes, because Pack doesn't like to pack. Scott doesn't like to pack as much as Chris likes to pack.
No.
He should have let
Chris. He only packs one pair of jeans.
Yeah,
he one.
Should let Chris pack it for you. All right. What happened to everyone and their mama showing up? Well, that didn't happen, Porsche. It didn't happen. So, c'est la vie. But, that means this show might be a little bit faster than we thought. So, that's good. All right.
I think I've said that many times lately.
All right.
Two out of three falls. We're getting right into this. Adam Cole, baby. Johnny Gargano, Johnny Takeover, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Failure, Johnny Hurry the Fuck Up Already. Two out of three falls for the vacant NXT Men's Heavyweight Championship. What is your anticipation level?
Ten.
Woo! We're busting nuts early tonight. Mm. Yeah!
Ten, baby. I usually am not a big fan of things that are just kind of like thrown together. You know, just 2 or 3 weeks worth of build. I'm usually not a big fan of that. But it's Johnny fucking wrestling versus Adam Cole.
Let's go over there.
Two out of three falls. You just had me scoot this way.
I know. Now you're a little too far.
What the fuck, man?
There we go.
We already did this before we started going online. Was this for comedic effect?
No.
Have a point?
No.
You just really wanted me to move?
No. We'll get there. We'll figure it out. See you later.
God damn it. Blew all the momentum off of that. Anyway,
what she said.
Two out of three falls. That should be badass for such awesome competitors as these two. Adam Cole, we've seen what he could do. Ring of Honor for years and years and years. And NXT, like, it hasn't been that big of a body of work, but the stuff that I have seen, I've liked. The match itself is going to be badass. The match itself may steal all of WrestleMania weekend. It has that potential. The story itself, like I said, normally I don't like the fact that it's just 2 or 3 weeks build, but the side for Gargano is there. The side of him challenging was going to take out Ciampa, and like now he's left without an opponent. Okay, I get it. I get why now it's fucking Adam Cole. Adam Cole won that 5-way match, won it fair and square, but not really as a heel, but it makes sense. At least it leads to this match. That's going to be fantastic, at least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I am not going to wait to let you outdo me.
Mm. One.
11.
Oh,
I am 11. At a fucking 11 for this match. So this is going to be my explanation. I hope I don't lose anybody, but I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Are you ready? Here's why I'm at an 11. Adam Cole and Baby. Johnny Gargano. I rest my case.
That's it. That's all you need.
I rest my fucking
on paper.
3 weeks build, 3 months build. It's fucking. It's
two. Does it 2 out of 3 falls?
Oh hell yeah!
Okay,
dude. Adam Cole stuff in Future Shock. Adam Cole stuff with the Kingdom. Adam Cole stuff in the Bullet Club. Adam Cole right now with Undisputed Era. This guy has been a diamond that has been not only under the rough, but like in the middle of a volcano somewhere where nobody even wanted to reach it. This guy's been ready. He is ready. And Friday, he will win it. I got Adam Cole winning this match. I would like to be swerved a bit and have Cole win 2-0.
Oh!
Remember, it's not a foregone conclusion. It's undisputed why Adam Cole's winning. There's no friends for Gargano. That's and there's true. Three other guys with fucking Adam Cole.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised. I would be pleasantly pleased, doubly pleasantly pleased if Cole wins 2-0 because you can easily book that. It's 4-on-1. Adam Cole winning. I don't care.
Well, it's not no DQ. It's 2 out of 3 falls. DQ still apply.
Eh.
I got Johnny Takeover winning this. I think he's going to win it. He's going to overcome the odds of the other four trying to run interference. And, yeah, he'll lose a fall to that, but it, two to one, then Johnny Takeover is winning it finally, and then he'll have a nice little reign while Ciampa's gone. And when Ciampa comes back, hey, that's the belt I never lost. The only reason why you got it is because I wasn't here. The only reason why Elijah won and the Rockets won that title was because that was Michael Jordan was out of the league. That's the kind of story that they're gonna tell, and it's gonna be a good one.
God willing, if Ciampa returns. He's out 4 to 6. He's out. He's out months. He's out a lot of months. But he was told. He shared on Twitter that the doctors told him that he shouldn't wrestle anymore
right
after this surgery.
That's true.
But he left it open ended. So if he comes back, the table set for him to have dinner.
Right. If he comes back. If he doesn't come back, they can still reprise stuff with Velveteen with Adam or Aleister Black, and then of course Adam Cole himself. He just got beat. Leader of the Undisputed Era.
Follow up.
Still has stuff to do.
Follow up. You have Johnny Gargano winning this.
Yes.
Up until now,
he was a heel.
Not just that. Okay. That's not where I'm trying to go.
Sorry.
Before, you're good. Up until now, he's been shown off on Monday Night Raw and on SmackDown. If you have Johnny Gargano winning the belt, does that mean you're keeping him back on NXT and saving him for later?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. I would agree with that too.
Yeah, don't have him come up the way that you're doing with Black and Ricochet.
Yeah. And with Ciampa, what they tried to do with Ciampa.
Right. Well, I mean, I get the Super Bowl halftime heat stuff. I get that. That was, you know, a nice little showcase for all six of the members involved. But they wound up just like cherry picking Ricochet and Black. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Johnny Wrestling, he'll do it. I got it. But what's going on here? Why, Robert Medlin! What's up, Medlin? Welcome to the live chat. Let's see. What are Scott and Porsche are going over and over stuff here?
They're going like, nowhere and nowhere?
I don't know where they're going.
Oh.
I think Porsche is just saying that he should come in and, like, take over the show. Scott says, I'll come over and take over. Yeah, okay, do it. Yeah. Velvet Sky? Why are we talking about Velvet Sky?
We ain't got time for detours tonight. Right,
whatever.
War Machine, defend the belts against Blackache. What you got?
I'm at a 9.
I'm guessing most of that's for Rey Monroe.
A lot of it is. Mm-hmm. The only detraction that I have for that is the fact that I don't want my cranberry sauce touching my stuffing. I still don't want Black and Ricochet together as an established team, so I'm kind of rooting for them to lose. If they win, then they're tag team champions. And if they win, then they're going to WrestleMania with the NXT belts to fight for a WWE main roster belt. And it's just, not only are you making the cranberry sauce and the stuffing touch, at that point, you're mixing the cranberry sauce and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes together. And that's just fucking insanity. That's the only thing keeping me from a 10. Because I know the product in ring will be fucking badass. Still, a 9 is not a low number. A 9 is a high fucking score.
You don't throw those out a lot.
No, I don't. But this particular match, so that's a nit to pick.
I'm going to try to bet my best to judge these matches solely.
Daniel, what's up? Thank you for joining us.
Solely on the match itself and not anything else happening. You, for example, just said that if they win the NXT titles, they're going to Raw or Mania and all that stuff. I'm going to try to just keep it in the microcosm of the match. The match itself. Anticipation, I'm probably at about a 6.5 or 7. It isn't so much because of the talent in the ring primarily. I didn't watch a lot of the NXT Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
Okay.
So I didn't get the opportunity to – I didn't give them the opportunity to win me over as a team. The okay. only impression I had from Black and Ricochet as a team was on Raw when I know I didn't want it. Had I watched some of the stuff on NXT, I might have a different opinion. War Machine is War Machine, obviously. Again, we can go back to Ring of Honor and NWA Houston or whatever you want to get to that. We already know why we like them.
Yeah.
But I think I'm at about a 6 or 7. Wow. Somewhere in the middle. Just because of War Machine hadn't been on television for 3 weeks until tonight's episode of NXT.
Right.
If this tournament happened like a month ago when we had 4 weeks build to get some interaction, maybe Raymond Rowe against Ricochet, Hansen yeah. against Aleister Black, something to actually tease
yeah.
what we're gonna get. Instead, for all the praise we gave of, oh shit, 3 weeks notice, Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole is at 10 and 11. For this instance, I think this is a situation where it could have been avoided, so it should have been avoided. Ciampa getting hurt couldn't have been avoided, so they're doing the best with what they can do with what they have at the time. So I'm gonna just call it down the middle, 6.5. I'm at a 6.5 for the match. War Raiders just got these fucking belts, no?
They well at the last takeover, I believe
they're keeping them.
They haven't had a meaningful title defense, I believe.
I think
I could be wrong. There could have been one in there somewhere
with Ricochet and Aleister Black being Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic winners. That's enough. I would think that's enough to try to put them over on the main roster for that tag match later on that we'll talk about. I don't think necessarily that they need the NXT belt so that they could take them to Mania.
Okay.
So I've got War Machine winning this.
I think War Machine's winning this too for all those reasons that you said, plus the fact that, again, only a psychopath would mix together the cranberry, the stuffing, and the mashed potatoes all together and have the NXT champs, newly crowned, be the guys that have been on Raw and SmackDown who are supposed to be separate, but they're not separate. They're together, fight for the blue. Are they fighting for the blue or the red belts?
The blue.
Belts.
Out of nowhere, because they've been on Raw yeah. for like doing the
it's,
thing.
It's with a bunch of, bunch of monkey humping. All right. Daniel says this. WrestleMania prediction. It's going to suck, and I'm not watching it.
You're too far ahead.
Good night, everybody. Don't bust that nut. But he's. We assume that means he's leaving. Mm. He's not leaving. He says he's going to stick around and watch us.
Okay, good.
So thank you, sir.
Someone in the chat room, Scott, verify this for me, because we're going to talk about this in a minute. Hold on.
All right.
Rumor had it that the four-way for the women was a ladder match. So if anybody saw the entire NXT episode tonight, an hour ago, confirm that with us in the chat just so we know what we're talking about when we get there. What the hell are you going to talk about?
Scott says this. How do you not have beer? You have failed this city. No sleep till Brooklyn! Exclamation point.
What? No beer?
Yeah, you don't have beer. You're not drinking any beer. Scott's calling you.
I'm pregame, getting ready. And then I need to be hydrated.
And then Porsche said that Scott needs to come over here and bring some beer for you.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Scott, who you were supposed to be here.
Who works at a fucking brewery.
Yeah.
Bring product.
Teach us Scott the Scott. Wait, which brewery?
Heights Brewery? It's not Eureka Heights. It's Heights something brewery. It's another Heights. One in the Heights.
Yeah.
Velveteen Dream against Matt Riddle for the North American title.
Robert says no mention of a ladder.
Okay. No mention of a ladder. So we'll skip that.
Okay. Thank you, Robert.
Matt Riddle against Velveteen. North American. Anticipation.
Eight. In the five-way, Matt Riddle starting to really win me over. I really like Matt Riddle in that particular match.
That was a coming out party.
I've been very hesitant to really like Matt Riddle because I don't buy him. I think I've even said this on the show. I don't buy him as a face. that character can be a total douchebag heel. I don't know. I want to dislike him.
You'll get your chance when he gets to the main roster. Maybe. NXT, that's the pure wrestling. It doesn't matter if you're a good guy or a bad guy. If you can wrestle, they'll at least respect you. And if you come across relatable, they'll like you. On the main roster, that gimmick is going to get over as a heel like nothing. It's going to be so fast.
What's your anticipation of that answer?
I'm also at an 8.
Okay.
Matt Riddle's coming out party. Different styles in that 5-way, and he stood his own against all of them.
You know what I'm interested to see? I'm interested to see Velveteen's Mega Madness. What he's going to suck out of Matt Riddle,
or what he's going to try to carbon copy?
Yeah,
because he doesn't suck it out after. He doesn't absorb the powers after the match. He tries to fight people's strengths instead of their weaknesses.
Right.
He tried to flippy dip with Ricochet. Yeah. He tried to do crazy shit on the ladder match. He tried to out-brood Alistair. So how's he going to out-MMA, or at least try to out-MMA fucking
that'd be interesting.
Former UFC fighter?
So, again, an 8 is a high score.
Yeah.
I think there could have been more added to it as far as – I don't know, maybe story goes. I don't know.
I got Velveteen.
Okay. Why not? Velveteen's keeping it.
4-way, no ladders, just titties. Baszler, Belair, Kairi, and Io. What's your anticipation level for this?
9. No ladders.
Okay, as of now, they could release that tomorrow online.
Right.
Or something.
So no ladders. Okay. Yeah. As of now. I'm still in the 9. I like all the girls. I think there's going to be a good match.
Is it time for Baszler to lose it?
Possibly. If there's a good time for her to lose it, it's in a multi-person match. Mm-hmm. Because she gets protected. She's still a badass. She lost because somebody else got a pin on somebody else. And she could go up to the main roster and chill with her homegirl Ronda and be an asshole with her. Mm-hmm. They could be assholes together. And I'm okay with that.
Oh, my.
What? Wait, what? Robert says he's going with Io Shirai to win.
I'm at a 9 for this. Baszler, to me, she's proven her worth as a champion. Mm-hmm. She, up until about a month or two ago, I think Baszler has always been better than Ronda in this year in pro wrestling.
I agree. I think
Baszler's been better than Ronda.
I agree. Wrestling-wise, character-wise right now, maybe Ronda.
But the promos, Baszler's been doing better on the stick.
Consistently
better. Yeah. Ronda's like...
Yeah, she's up or down.
Yeah, she tries to be smart, it goes like this. When she just wants to... We'll get to that. Belair, she's earned my respect. I love Belair.
I love her.
She has talk about a gimmick that can go over on the main roster if it's done right, if it's not worn out.
Yeah.
I think Bianca Belair. And again, what's wrong with seeing another black person succeed? What's wrong with that? Io and Kairi, waifu.
Waifu.
Is there anything else I need to say? The talent's there. I would actually knock this down a point or two if it was a ladder match, because you won't be able to get to see how good of wrestling they are because they're too busy car crashing. Okay. There's certain people that you want to see in a car crash environment. I think these women would be better suited 4-way wrestling.
Okay.
So I'm what did I say? 8? 9?
You said 8, I said 9.
Okay, yeah, 8 and 9. But yeah, I have Io winning this.
All right.
I have Io winning this.
You're agreeing with Robert. Mm-hmm. Going back to Velveteen, Daniel says this. he'll come to the ring in white face and try to outbro him.
No, he's gonna come on in flip flops and a fucking Oakley shorts.
Yeah.
What do you got winning?
Bianca. Right. It, you know, it could be any three. I really think Baszler's losing, but it's
a toss up.
Which one of the three wins it? I don't know. But slightly less odds for Kairi because she already was a champ. So NXT doesn't like to have multiple champions. So I either got to have a toss up between Shirai or Belair, so I'm just guessing with Belair. Especially if Kyrie and Io are going to go on to be challengers for the tag belts. Yeah. There you go. Bel Air.
We're ending the takeover talk on a high note.
Daniel agrees.
Try to wait, but he couldn't make it on time. WWE United Kingdom Championship. Pete Dunne defends against Wolta.
This is what we wanted you to talk about, Scott. God damn it.
What you got?
For not seeing much, if any at all, of the build, I'm at a fucking 10.
What?
10.
What?
I'm at a fucking 10 for this.
Maybe it's because
I'm pleading ignorance on the story. All I know is that Pete Dunne, the champ, said, hey, I want a piece of that guy that everybody's talking about. Which that right there makes me like, damn, look at the nuts on this motherfucker. The guy who's had the belt for like 2 years. You know, this motherfucker isn't dodging people. He's calling people out.
This ain't Mayweather.
Yeah.
It's Pacquiao.
Like, me likey. And the fact that me
a guy also, bigger than him.
Yeah.
Heavier than him.
Yeah.
Taller than him.
Stronger than him.
Mm-hmm.
Me and me likey Wolta. Me likey Wolta. Like I wanna see these two car crash, and maybe it's the lack of story that I exposed myself to, because I haven't watched NXT UK TV that much at all, period. You know, so maybe it's just the hearing it through the grapevine stuff. Maybe that's helped me. Maybe if I had actually watched the build, maybe I'd be at a 9 or something. But as of right now, the little bit that I've
shown you one match of Walter against some jobber,
yeah,
and one chop like, echoed like a shotgun in downtown.
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in, dude. So, yeah, I'm at a 10.
Go. Well, as a person that has been watching some of NXT UK, who's familiar with some of Walter's work, and who's been watching a lot of Pete Dunne, I'm so happy to see you cross that line. 10, motherfucker! 10! The only conundrum I have is it too obvious that the bigger, faster, stronger, heavier, taller Walter in his first title match after less than 3 months on NXT UK, because he debuted at the TakeOver in January, less than 3 months, his first title match on his first takeover, and he's going to beat the guy that's had the belt almost 2 years?
That's what makes this hard to predict.
I got Walter.
Fuck it. I got done. dude, I think this is a toss-up because you have strong arguments for both of them.
Pick them.
Walter is, like, so fucking over, and, like, he should beat, you know, like, a pipsqueak like Pete Dunne. But Pete Dunne's not a fucking pipsqueak. Like, he's a badass mofo who knows how to actually wrestle and hurt people.
It'll make it easy for you. Pete Dunne's a flurkin.
Yeah.
For anybody that gets that reference.
He's just so good, and The 800 some odd day reign, or however, 600, whatever it is, it works to his advantage for me to say, oh, he's going to win because, come on, they got to take it off him. But it also works to their, like, disadvantage. So it's like, oh, he's definitely going to lose because he's had the belt for too long. You know, and I don't know where to go with that. So it's a pick 'em for me. I don't know. One of them will win. How about that? One of them will win. You got the big guy. I got the little guy. There you go. Robert Medlis says this. I'm at a 10 plus plus for this.
Oh.
Walter wins, but Dunne puts on a hell of a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Scott says, that's all it is. I'm here. Like, okay, great. Scott says, I'm outside of the airport. What is he outside? Like, am I here? Like, here?
The door's open.
We left the door unlocked. And you know, Chris's back door is always unlocked. Daniel Price says, Dunne going over him would bury him unless it's some sort of deal where Dunne pulls something out of his ass and puts him out like the Virgin Mary came down and blew him to a miracle victory. I don't know. I'm not
You turn Mustache Mountain heel and 3-1, they chop down Walter?
Nah.
You have Pete Dunne join Dallas?
Nah.
And 4-1, chop down Walter?
Nah. Turn Mustache Mountain heel and aligning him with Pete? I don't know.
Or having Pete join the Gallus, the heel team with the Coffee Brothers and Wolfgang.
I don't know. Now
is it time for a change with Pete Dunne? We've had the same character ever since, what, 5 years ago? 4 years ago from the takeover of Chicago?
If there's been more exposure to him, yes. But they're not. He's not on 3 hours worth of SmackDown and Raw every single week. So we see him snippets here and there. So for me, it's not stale yet, despite the fact that he's been a champ for 2 fucking years. It's not stale with me yet.
As always, takeover. Quality over quantity.
Five matches.
Anticipation for the whole shebang.
9.
I think mathematically I'm at a 9.
I think mathematically I'm at a 9 too. Let's see. I had 2 9s, a 10, and an 8.
Yep.
No, 2 10s, 2 9s, and an 8.
I had an 11, a 10, and some other numbers.
Yeah. I can't math.
Mathematically, I'm at a 9. Okay. Realistically, I'm at a fucking 10. Of course, you know why.
Because you'll be there.
Exactly.
You son of a bitch. You and Scott both. Right. Scott's going with you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, something we don't do often on this show.
Yeah.
Next segment, Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling teaming up. G1 Supercard.
Hi.
Pre-show, Honor Rumble, over the top rope. I really don't know who wins what the winner gets. Nice. Dalton Castle against Rush.
Who the fuck is Rush?
Exactly. Moving on. We're not going to try to get anticipation for you for
everything. Yeah, yeah, because I have
and,
no
and
idea.
Me also. I'll admit, I haven't been watching a lot of Ring of Honor. There's some matches here that I'm so stoked to see. There's other matches that I'm going to learn as I go. So we're going to just hit on a couple of things. The women's champion is going to be defended. Iwatani against Kelly Klein. I think if I remember correctly, that's the finals. That was the finals from last year's Women of Honor tournament where the finals was at Supercard in New Orleans.
Okay.
So I think we're getting the rematch of that. Bully Ray had an open challenge weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Badass promo on the ROH app. It ended up on YouTube where since Bully Ray's home is New York, that's his heaven. And for Juice, is going to be his highway to hell. Hardcore highway to hell because yeah. That's the open challenge, a street fight. Juice Robinson accepted the challenge. So Bully Ray
like to see that.
Against Juice.
I'd that's like going to be that. Good. That's, yeah. That'd be a good match.
Three-way for the Junior Heavyweight Championship, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
All right.
From Bullet Club, Ishimori, Dragon Lee, and Bandido.
Ooh. I want to see that. Yeah. I want to see that match.
There's going to be a lot of flippies.
Yeah. This is on Saturday, right? Is this televised?
Saturday. It's I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the next day it might also be, since it's from New Japan also, it might be on the New Japan Network. You got my stuff.
Okay. I'll see you. I'll see if I can watch this.
Two sets of tag titles are on the line. New Japan and Ring of Honor tag titles are on the line.
In one match.
Winner take all. Four-way. It is Guerrillas of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's Villain Enterprises, which is Brody King and PCO. I'm still trying to get to know those guys. Evil and Sonata. And the Briscoes.
Okay. I don't know. I'm so over the Briscoes, man. Like,
really?
Yeah.
I still have a charm for them. I still have a soft spot for them.
Do you?
Still.
Yeah. I've grown.
It's not as soft. But I still have it somewhere. But I have a soft spot.
Yeah, I've grown low of the Briscoes.
Okay. I feel you.
Yeah.
For the British heavyweight title.
Okay. Pete Dunne. Wait, what?
Zack Sabre Jr. defends against Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Ooh. Ooh. Hold up. Tanahashi? Versus Zack Sabre Jr.? Ooh. Ooh. Hold up. Okay. Yeah, I want to see that. Yeah, I might. Ooh, okay.
Here's another one for you. Winner take all. The NEVER Open Weight Championship and the Ring of Honor Television Championship are on the line.
Okay.
Will Ospreay, Aerial Assassin, against Matanza, Jeff Cobb.
Oh, that's going to be cool. Yeah, I want that. I want to see that too.
Anticipation level for the Intercontinental Championship from New Japan. Tetsuya Naito defends against Kota Ibushi.
Just on paper? 9.
Agreed. I'm at a 9.
9.
I think Ibushi pinned Naito during this New Japan Cup, and that's how he got this title match for a G1 Supercard. Is it time for Kota to have a a singles run with a heavyweight title?
I don't see why not, man. With AEW doing their own thing, and that means the Golden Lovers are gone away, whatever. I think...
And Kota's literally on his own again.
Yeah. Guys like me who had eyeballs on New Japan just for all the Bullet Club Hot Topic stuff, they're going to recognize Kota. And they're going to...
Hopefully.
Well, yeah, they should anyway. They're going to recognize Kota because Kota's like the only dude that was like a part of that main Bullet Club storyline once they were exiting that people are going to want to tune in and actually watch. And I give Kota a nice little push and make retain some dudes like me.
Got you. Triple threat for the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship ladder match. Matt Taven, Marty Scurll, Jay Lethal. Anticipation. Just on paper.
Eight.
Yeah. Why so high? If it's just on paper.
I think all three of those guys can go and they can all put it on a pretty badass match. Marty, well, that's what I was about to say. I don't know any of the story, but I know Marty Scurll has a good character, but I find him to be more of a character guy than a wrestling guy, which I might be selling him short, but that's just who he is in my mind.
Selling him short. If I'm not mistaken, if I go back into my brain cells, Marty Scurll won the Survival of the Fittest tournament. So he got a number one contendership match for this match. The last Ring of Honor, the 17th anniversary. Their anniversary show, it was Jay Lethal defending the ROH title against Matt Taven. And they went to a 60-minute draw. So there was no definitive winner. So that's how we ended up, instead of a one-on-one with Lethal and Scurll, into a triple threat. I've said this before about almost everything of the first All-In show, about coming from nothing and being where they ended up. To see guys like, not so much Marty Scurll, because he's wrestled around the world in pretty big places, especially in Wrestle Kingdom. But to see guys like Matt Taven and Jay Lethal co-main eventing in fucking Madison Square Garden, a ladder match, me, even if I wasn't there, I would pay to watch this show. And this match would be at a 10.
Okay.
And I've got Lethal retaining.
Okay.
I've got Lethal retaining.
I'm cool with that.
The main event.
Oh!
Your favorite.
Oh, no. I feel it coming.
Jay White, the Switchblade.
Oh, why?
Kiwi Crusher. Against the winner of the 2019 New Japan Cup, Okada Kazuchika. Your anticipation level. I did that one for y'all.
Five.
And that's all Okada?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't really like Okada that much either. Like, I like him.
It sounds like a five is too high then. Why are you going to put a five?
Okay, four.
Okay. So how you end up at this grade?
I know the match is going to be good because I respect Okada and what he could do in the ring. I just never really liked him.
You're not attracted to him.
I'm not attracted to him. In my mind, he is Japanese Randy Orton, right? And that's not saying that he's bad at wrestling, because Randy Orton only has one move. It's the deadliest move ever, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to that. You just need one. But, like, this guy has a lot more moves, and that's why I say I respect him in the ring. And I get that his character is over with the Rainmaker thing with like other folk, but it's not over with me with the Rainmaker. I don't know. He seems like generic, charismatic, good looking wrestling dude, and that's it. So I don't get too excited for him unless I'm really excited for who he's fighting against. And I'm really not excited for Jay White, because fuck Jay White. Like, I really, I loathe Jay White. Like, in order for me to care about Okada, you got to have somebody going up against him like Omega. Okay, cool. That brings them both up. But, like you mix that with Turd? Like, no, it sours a whole punch bowl. But that's just me.
I am at, surprisingly, an 8. Again, most of that is the IWGP title being defended in a main event at Madison Square Garden that sold out on the same night where the Hall of Fame isn't sold out.
Well, you know what? That's a good point. Five. That brought me up a point.
I respected the myth, the legacy of Okada before I even started watching Japanese wrestling. Andrew Williams, before you or Scott or Travis even knew that I was watching wrestling, Andrew Williams opened the door for me. I watched some events with him at his apartment when he was still here.
Okay.
So even then I started understanding the myth, his career there. Watching his match, his series of matches with Kenny Omega, he earned my respect.
Oh yeah.
Watching his fucking match with Marty Scurll at All In gave me a level of appreciation for him that I think you're missing.
Okay.
He, one thing that I caught late to the party, sorry, Hector. I'm working on doing some edits for this podcast eventually when I upload it, when I get a chance to. When Okada won this New Japan Cup, Shibata walked in the ring and congratulated him.
Okay.
After that, after the segment when Jay White came in and started talking trash, and then Jay White backstage in the press conference talking more trash, and they were interviewing Okada. And they asked him about what the influence was with Shibata in the ring and everything during that press conference, what it meant to him. And Okada visibly was crying because Shibata 2 years ago won the New Japan Cup. 3 months later, he wrestled Okada, and then weeks after that, he can't wrestle no more. So there's more story now than there was before the tournament even started. And Shibata telling him, you got to win this? Because you can't let to your sake, you can't let this little pipsqueak Jay White run around with his fucking belt that I can't wrestle for.
This guy that thinks he's a shit when he's
not. Exactly. Yeah. Like, he just got pigeonholed in this spot because everybody else before then left.
Keep going.
Finn Balor left. AJ Styles left. Kenny Omega left. Who was next?
God, it's 78 degrees in here, bitch.
I didn't notice. I guess because we're both wearing black.
Yeah.
So Jay White was just like granted this position, mm-hmm. you know? So I think I talked myself up to a 9. I'm at a 9 for this. And I'm looking forward to this.
You know what, Chris? And with all that story and stuff with Shibata and all that backstory, that does help me a little bit. 6. I'm at a 6. And that's the main event, right?
That should be the main event, yes.
Daniel, I see you, okay? He's blowing up stuff going right along with us here with what we're talking about New Japan, which is nice. So I'm going to let you in on some of the stuff he's saying here in the live chat.
Okay.
All right. So he says, if Okada wins, that means White's going to win the G1 Climax.
Ooh. Ooh.
Daniel also says, as much as I love the Briscoes, Gorilla Destinies are taking it.
I think Gorillas of Destinies now are what the Briscoes was maybe 8 to 10 years ago when they were first getting their feet wet in Ring of Honor. And I think the Briscoes' time came and went. And I think Gorillas of Destiny now, they've got maybe 3 or 4 more good years. If they don't either go to WWE or solidify themselves on their own, what's next?
Yeah. You know? And then he says Tanahashi has no gold, so he ain't doing much. So why not? Okay, sure. Why not? Daniel Price says Ibushi is money. He told Vince 6 times, no, 6, 6. Six. And then Daniel Price also says if PCO and King don't win earlier in the night, then Scroll will win. If they do, then Taven will win. So he doesn't have Lethal winning this shit at all. He doesn't have Lethal winning.
Dude, sidebar, I saw the promo online that David Starr cut about his title match in Israel against apparently Jay Lethal for the Ring of Honor title. And talking so much shit about the Sinclair Network because their political affiliations, even though Ring of Honor really doesn't want to have anything to do with that stigma, they're not politically motivated either way. They're just a wrestling promotion that wants to cut it. I think that's the biggest reason why I have Jay Lethal retaining, because Jay Lethal versus David Starr, that's going to be fucking gold, dude.
And both Daniel and Porsche want to know why I don't like Jay White.
Did you ever go into detail about that?
I don't know. I think I did go into detail after he won the title. After
the U.S. title.
Yeah, yeah. Not the U.S. title. The main title. I think we went after that. I don't want to rehash the whole goddamn rant I went on, but basically.
Well, if we knew the episode number, we'd tell him to find it.
Yeah, we'd tell him to find it. Basically, I don't think he was deserving of what he got. And I just think that he is kind of green. Dang even says there, despite the fact him being green, he's a good heel. But yeah, I guess.
He's getting heat.
Yeah, he's getting heat. But he might be getting that Roman X-Pac Cena heat. The heat that's like, he's not good at getting heat. He's just like the guy that we don't want heat. But I don't know, man. It's just, I find him kind of boring, bland, and I find it kind of offensive that they picked him as the top guy.
You're offended.
I'm offended that he was picked as the top guy. I was like, this motherfucker, like, what has he done? You know, and maybe I'm
that's me. Every week to have that's a podcast me. With me.
That's me.
Yeah, that offends you.
That offends me. That offends me.
Just trying to find the moral high ground.
I don't know. I'm just, I could be wrong. I don't mind being wrong. But
you don't want to be wrong.
I don't think I'm wrong. So, fuck Jay White.
Overall, the whole event, New Japan, Ring of Honor, G1 Supercard, Madison Square Garden.
So the stuff that you asked me, my anticipation level for, I ranked everything pretty high except for that main event. But if you asked me my anticipation level for the stuff you didn't ask me my anticipation level for, I would have been like, NA to be determined. So because of that, for the whole shebang,
you're gonna give me an incomplete.
I'm gonna give you a 5.
Okay,
because
that's fair.
I don't know. That's
normally, I would be at about an 8. I haven't seen enough of Bandido to make an opinion. The triple threat's going to be fun. Bully Ray against Juice. A lot of this is because for everything that we like about New Japan, sometimes it could also be its detriment.
How so?
New Japan doesn't have a weekly show. For me to know what an Ishimori is, for me to understand how badass Okada is, for me to understand why people really fucking hate Jay White. You know, at times it's a good thing because you're not burned out. Yeah. But at a show like this, fans like me don't know half of these motherfuckers. So it kind of works both ways.
Yeah.
So just on what I know on this card, 8, of course. That's mathematics. It's a fucking 10, obviously.
Because you're going to be there.
Exactly.
Live in New York City. Live for New York. It's Saturday night.
This happening WrestleMania weekend.
We're gonna take your little.
Okay. We're gonna end the MSG talk right here on a question. They sold this out in 15, 20 minutes, less than that, because it's WrestleMania weekend, first time ever, Madison Square Garden. They're supposed to be announcing within the next couple of weeks. AAA is actually gonna have their first show in Madison Square Garden. And chances are they're partnering up with All Elite Wrestling.
What?
Do you think off WrestleMania season, not during WrestleMania season, but off season, can AAA and AEW sell out MSG?
As fast as they sold out?
In general.
Just
the day of the show. New Japan didn't sell out the Cow Palace in San Francisco. New Japan didn't sell out the second time they went back to the pyramid. I think this might be the most ambitious show AAA's trying to do, let alone partner with anyone. And it's off season. We got people coming from all 50 states, 40 something different countries for WrestleMania.
When you say off season, how off season?
I don't know if it's if they're partnering up with All Elite. All Elite's got Double or Nothing in May in Vegas, which is sold out 11 minutes. They have a show in Jacksonville that they're doing as a charity for the shooting victims of the that Madden football tournament that some kid once shot up a bunch of other kids. All In 2 is going to be back in Chicago in September.
Okay,
so I would say November. Maybe December. Maybe it is December.
Well, if it's during Christmas or during fucking Thanksgiving, no. They're not going to sell off because there's going to be people trying to do stuff with family. You're not having a bunch of marks fly in from all over the world into one town. No, they're not going to sell it out. You're going to have to rely on New Yorkers who are wrestling fans enough to recognize AAA and AEW and have them not have anything else to do during the holidays. So if it's during the holiday season, November through January, no, okay. They're not going to sell out. If it's like August, then maybe so.
That's it for the indie stuff. Are you ready for the main event? You ready for the main course?
Yeah.
You're done with the soup? You're done with the salad? You're done with the breadsticks?
Then you'll say he felt bad for me reading all his words that he wrote. Then he said no, he didn't.
WrestleMania.
The granddaddy of them all. You're wearing your WrestleMania X7 shirt. I'm wearing my WrestleMania 30 hat.
They voted this as the best WrestleMania of all
time. That's true. I got this shirt at WrestleMania 17 weekend.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I bought it there.
You know, that shirt's 18 years old.
Yeah, I do.
17 years
yes.
old. Yeah, this yes. is, I'm surprised.
I still barely fit in it. I remember when it was a little bit big on me. That was tight.
So far, there have been three matches confirmed for the pre-show, so we're going to plow through them real quick.
All right.
Anticipation level for the Women's Battle Royal.
2-0.
We have winning.
Asuka.
Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
2-0.
Who you have winning?
Braun.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Big whoop. On both the guys and the girls. Oh, I don't care.
Over under 60 seconds that either of the Saturday Night Live guys last in that rumble.
The white guy will last less. No, the white guy will last more. The black guy will last less.
So Michael Che gets thrown out. Right. Joe stays in long enough to get his ass beat.
That's the only reason why. So that he could get his ass whooped a little bit longer. The Michael Che, he'll be smart enough to either get eliminated
the Drew Carey.
Or just jump on over. It's like, fuck this. I'm out. Like, and it's not like, oh, you killed the black guy first. No, it's more like, I'm too smart for this shit. The black guy's self-reserved. Like, I'm in the middle of a ring with a bunch of white dudes. Peace, y'all. And, like, he's just going to go, you know. Yeah.
Cruiserweight title match. Buddy Murphy defends against Tony Nese. What's your anticipation level?
If this was on the main card, it'd be a 9. It's not on the main card. So that takes me down to a 7.
And you're going just on paper. You haven't watched much of 205 lately.
Not much. I do know that they had like an agreement between them two because they were both heels and they were going to respect each other and then they wound up having beef. Yeah. So that's.
You don't want any beef.
Yeah. So that's enough for me. I kind of know that part of the story, of the build. What about you? Give me a number.
I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do this anyway.
Okay.
If it was on the pre-show, it would be a 9. I mean, if it wasn't on the pre-show, it would be a 9.
Okay.
It is on the pre-show.
So?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
This match is going to be one of those rare times like Neville versus Austin Aries at 33.
That was a
where
good
the
match.
Pre-show is the main event. You're getting it 7.5 hours early. I will make the effort if I don't get to watch this live at Travis's because I will be back in town by then. If I don't get to watch it live before we record on Wednesday, fuck it. Before I go to sleep on Sunday, I will go back and I will watch this match. I have a vested interest in this match.
Okay.
The story hooked me. The promo at the Performance Center wowed me. On paper, these two are going to have a fucking barn burner of a match.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be sick, dude. So I'm at an 8. And I just wish, was it 34 Cedric Alexander versus Buddy Murphy? Wasn't that on the Bane show?
I don't even remember, man.
I hope that that the Cruisers get at least more time on the main show, man, because they've been having some fucking phenomenal matches, dude.
Who you got winning?
It's time. Tony Nese.
Tony?
I think
Tony Nese.
I say that for two reasons. Number one, I think Tony Nese is ready. Number two, I think Buddy's ready for the main roster. get him out of 205. Have him pack another 5 or 6 pounds of bulge to get him off the scale and have him fucking wrestle Samoa Joe.
Ooh.
Ali.
Ooh.
Rey Mysterio once his knees and ankles are healthy.
Yeah.
Andrade.
Oh, yeah.
I'll throw one out there. Fucking Lars Sullivan. Those two, it won't look right on paper, but as soon as that bell goes off, dude. Yeah, I think Buddy Murphy's ready for the main roster. Main roster, not 205 shit. Have him for the mid-card feud. Have him in some mid-card feuds.
You convinced me.
Buddy versus Ricochet.
You convinced me. I'm agreeing with you. Tony Nese will win it. Because I was leaning more towards Buddy retaining. But, man, that's been a long title reign.
October.
It's been a long fucking reign.
The Aussie show.
Yeah.
Six months, I think it's time. I think he's beaten damn near everybody on the roster already.
Yeah.
It's time. And I wouldn't necessarily turn Tony Nese's face. I'd still keep him as that rebel that you can either like him because he counts abs or you hate him because you don't have those abs. Main show. Roman Reigns against Drew McIntyre.
I'm going to go with the 6. I'm going to go so low because I don't know if Roman's fully ready. They kind of protected him in the tag match. And then
a lot of promos.
Yeah, he kind of went away for a little bit. I think this match is going to be short, sweet, to the point, and it's not going to be very taxing on Roman. So the match itself isn't going to be spectacular. And as much as I will be happy to see Roman in there after the whole cancer thing, and yeah, I had the big rant about whether or not it was real or fake, whatever. We're just going to assume that it's real. What? We're just going to assume that it's real, and great, he came back from cancer. All right, cool. So, yay, he's beating Drew, which, that sucks. I kind of want...
already predicted Roman winning?
Yeah, Roman's going to win.
Okay.
But I kind of want Drew to like, do more than lose to Roman at Mania. But it sucks. Somebody's got to lose to Roman at Mania. But then the match isn't going to be great. Give me a number.
8.
Oh, that high. Why that high?
Please, for the love of God, Bruce Pritchard, do not fuck this up. Drew McIntyre beat the shit out of Seth Rollins before and even during after he won the Royal Rumble to become number one contender. He's claiming that he dismantled the Shield. He's been raping Dean Ambrose to the point that Dean's probably not even coming back after WrestleMania. You have the easiest of outs of Drew McIntyre beating Roman because it's Roman's first match, legit first one-on-one match back from leukemia. That's the easiest out you can have. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but the interactions that I've seen so far between Roman and Drew make me want more. I don't know what it is, because like you said, there hasn't been much. The six-man tags, the Shield stuff, the promos backstage with Drew just wiping the ever-loving fuck out of Roman all over the place. They could keep this going. I wouldn't see a rematch next month. I would see Roman like, oh man, you know what? Maybe I did come back too soon. Let me take another month off and let me come back at Money in the Bank. You know, 6 weeks away. Money in the Bank is 6 weeks away, and you can actually have him reflect on a loss.
And Money in the Bank is the first pay-per-view after Mania. That's really fucking weird this year. Because usually the Money in the Bank match is either at Mania or halfway in the middle of the year.
I have a prediction on that. I'll keep it till later.
Okay, keep it on your hat.
But I'm at an 8 for this.
Yeah.
And unlike you, I've got Drew winning this. It's a layup. You could protect Roman even in a loss.
Okay.
It's easy. I would have Drew. It wouldn't surprise me.
Drew WWE didn't beat him. Leukemia beat him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Robert says Roman will win in 30 seconds.
Fuck you.
Daniel Price says, oh yeah, Reigns is going to squash his Scottish ass. Porsche says they're finally donating money to the LLUSA, which I think stands for the Little Leukemia United States Association. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the acronym stands for.
AJ Styles against Randy Orton.
You know, I was at maybe a 6-2 for this one, but then
yesterday happened.
Then yesterday happened.
Yeah!
That gave me a nice little erection for this match. I'm at an 8.5. just like my erection. It's not even happening.
This is not 2005. I did want AJ versus Randy Orton in 2005.
Okay.
Good luck trying to play that. Good luck trying to pull that off. After last night's promo,
yeah,
I'm at a 9.
Okay.
The only problem with last night's segment is, you know, as wrestling fans, the law of reverse momentum. The one way that a lot of fans were thinking Orton was going to win that match, and he already gave it away on free television. I think I have AJ pulling out a spiral tap. To beat Randy Orton, to prove that Orton can lose to an independent wrestler with an independent move.
I would be at a 9.5 if last night included this. When Orton was
so savage both ways.
When Orton was talking about, going to high school gymnasium and bingo hall and this, that, wrestling in front of 25 people, I really wanted AJ to say, like, I wrestled in front of thousands of fans. I sold out arenas in TNA.
I sold out the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. I wanted him to mention TNA or New Japan and say, these weren't high school gymnasiums, you know? Mm-hmm. And say, just because they're the competition didn't mean that, like, we didn't, or something along those lines. But instead he said, yeah, I did wrestle in high school gyms on the indie circuit. I was like, no, bitch, you weren't wrestling on the indie circuit. You're wrestling in the indie circuit like 20 years ago. The last 15 years, you were wrestling at the competition when they were actually fucking good. Why? Because of you, AJ. You made TNA good. You made the Bullet Club good. You made all that shit good, AJ. Those were the houses that you built. Those were the houses you built.
Turn them into rentals.
Yeah. Other than that little oversight, everything else that was said, both by Orton and AJ, was fucking fire. Great. Great stuff.
And the MVP of that segment.
Where are you going? Oh, is Scott finally here?
No, that's my impersonation of Kevin Owens.
Oh.
He knew when to get the fuck up and leave because he knew shit was about to go down. He said so much by saying nothing. I've been doing this long enough. I know where this leads.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised Kevin Owens didn't stick up for him. Randy Orton lost to Daniel Bryan, a guy that wrestled in armories. You know, yeah. Kevin Owens, a guy that used to wrestle in armories, now has his own talk show.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, there's stuff that could have been said, but hell, if they're going to keep this going, save it for later.
Okay.
Save it for later.
Okay.
Who you got winning? I got AJ winning. Who do you got winning?
LOL, Orton wins.
Oh, fuck.
I bet you Orton's going to win it. Just because, you know, Vince would like to just stick it to the indie guy. I bet you Orton's going to win it.
Is there anything going on in there before I transition?
Yeah, most anticipated match. I agree. Orton, this is Robert. Orton could have won with the RKO from the Phenomenal Forum, but they already gave that finish away on SmackDown, so AJ wins. Daniel Price says,
what if Orton learns a new move just to beat AJ?
Oh, God, that'd be hilarious. Orton uses the fucking Styles Clash. Goddamn. Daniel Price says, if it were me, I'd have to say, hey, Randy, when your daughter gets older, you're going to make her shake my hand. Oh, Jesus, no. Let's see. It's Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Oh, okay. Thank you, Porsche. That's what that was. All right. So that's it. All right.
Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin in Angle's final match ever. Anticipation level.
5.
What do you got winning?
Corbin.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. I'm at a 0.
Okay. Who you got winning?
I find it ironic that after the Joe Angle match, they had Angle not wrestle on Raw for fear of hurting someone else. And instead of Angle hurting Ray, Corbin did. Ray messed up his ankle.
Legit.
To the point where I don't know what WWE is doing because they never pulled the Ray Joe match off the card. It's still on this card. But if you look very carefully at the graphic for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, Ray's in it.
What?
Or maybe I'm just confusing him with one of the mechs from the Lucha House Party or whatever.
Yeah, but that could be. Yeah.
It's weird. I'm at a zero for this. I have zero fucks to give about this match. I don't care who wins. I'm like everybody else at home. We had several great matches, ideas for great matches on the build-up to Kurt Angle's farewell tour. Storyline-wise, for the majority, they understand completely why we're getting Angle versus Corbin. But for people that have watched the network, for people that don't need the network to remember Kurt Angle's career, having it end on a goof like Baron Corbin, it just it offends me.
I understand your pain.
I'm at a zero, and I don't care who wins.
You know what? Another promo that could have benefited from at least the acknowledgement of TNA. That video package of Kurt was beautiful. Beautiful video package recapping his entire career, except for when, and then I left. And now I'm back. Half of your fucking legacy is your time in TNA. And it's weird.
You wrestled at the Tokyo Dome, bro.
Yeah. Those matches with Joe, all those matches with Styles. Sting. Yeah, he had a phenomenal career in TNA. His career in TNA may have even meant more than his career in WWE.
I think it was longer.
Yeah,
Before he came back, it was longer.
And for WWE, the reason why I'm harping on it so much right now is because they've said in the network, in different areas, they've mentioned TNA here and there on different, things. So why not mention it during WrestleMania season when everything's supposed to be, eye-catching, popping, whatever, this and that, and you're really supposed to hit home a bunch of stuff? Why can't you let it slip for either Kurt or AJ, one of the two, to actually acknowledge their TNA careers that could have influenced both of their WrestleMania matches so well? Either one of them. If you had to do it for only one, pick one of them. If you can't do it for both, I get it. You want to keep it to a minimum. But damn, that AJ or that Kurt Angle package would have been so much better.
He's crying at the end.
I know.
People that don't know Kurt Angle outside of the WWE universe, for fuck's sake, the guy, just to put things in perspective, Kurt Angle held the TNA World Championship, the TNA X Division Championship, and the TNA Tag Team Championship at the same fucking time.
That was a hell of a run. Oh, all of the Main Event Mafia stuff. God damn, that was some good shit. God, Kurt was a fucking all-star in TNA. It's weird, man, because they'll talk about Sting and how great he was in WCW, and I get it. They bought WCW. They have yet to buy TNA, and TNA, technically TNA, has yet to die, even though it's not TNA anymore.
They'll rent the library here and there for little things like Table for Three or for the Kurt Angle documentary when he first came back, and Dixie Carter was on it.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Don't half-ass it.
Daniel Price held the TNA World title while he had the IWGP title. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yo, man.
Oh, God damn it.
Shane McMahon and The Miz. Falls count anywhere.
Shane's fall anywhere.
fuck. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what that match is going to be.
He's falling off the edge of the stadium.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do.
Explode through the table.
I'm at a four. I know where this is going to lead. This is going to lead to Shane falling off of something. And frankly, I don't give a damn. I don't want to see Shane fall off of anything anymore.
So I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
My anticipation for this match, the build-up to this match, the story of this match, I'm at a 9.
Get the fuck out of this apartment.
This is a 6-month build from the Best in the World tournament, them trying to be buddies. This is The Miz's first face run in how long? It's refreshing. At least on the Shane side. His promos have been good.
No, it's refreshing on the Miz side.
That's what I meant, on the Miz side.
Okay.
The Miz right now, I think he's going to win a heavyweight championship by the end of the year.
The character development that we've gotten out of the Miz has been better than normal.
The match itself is going to suck.
Okay.
And it's not even what you said about Shane. That fucking 3-on-1 shit we got last night with Sanity against the Miz, that was kind of hard to watch. And it's going to suck for everyone in the arena to watch when most of that match ain't going to happen in front of them. So the anticipation for this is at an 8 for me. Now, knowing in the back of my mind, the outcome of it's not going to be that pretty.
See,
if it was regular, just one-on-one in the ring, I would have stayed at that 8. But the false count anywhere stuff, ugh.
The thing that I was looking forward to the most with The Miz was actually Miz's misses right after SmackDown. Like, I found that to be more entertaining. Yes, The Miz did a good job cutting his promo. That was good. I like the character development. I don't necessarily like the storyline. Okay, go. Oh, who you got winning? Miz? Miz wins. Shane falls off of something and dies.
Shane doesn't win these matches.
Okay, Miz wins.
Miz wins.
Okay.
Hunter, kiss my ass.
Is that our episode title, by the way?
Yes. Okay, I just titled that because you asked me to.
Yes. Hunter, kiss my ass.
Dave Bautista, Triple H. Triple H's career is on the line. Anticipation level.
If Triple H's career was not on the line,
I think this is Batista's last match. He said he wanted to end it by ending
Triple H. Well, if the careers weren't on the line, I may be at like an 8. But since it is on the line, it makes me like, oh, you know, like, oh, they got to like ruin it by putting this in here. Also, Triple H is going to lose or he has to win now. And like, it's clouding my judgment on the prediction and it's making it less enjoyable because I'm like worried about is Triple H going to retire? And it's like, I don't really care. Triple H could retire or Triple H could never retire. And I'm okay with it. Him coming back once a year for Mania because it's fucking Triple H. Okay, fine. Like, I don't need a big deal about him retiring. And we already have a retirement match on the fucking card. We already do. So you know what? 6. 6. Despite the fact that I hated ED, past tense, oh my God, I hated Batista, and now I'm like, oh, up until the fucking, you know, stipulation of it being Triple H's potential last match, I was like, I'm kind of enjoying this Batista. I'm kind of enjoying this build. I think I've forgiven him. And all that shit got ruined, not by Batista's hand, but by Bookie's hand, while putting in this fucking stipulation.
I'll help you. I'm at an 8.
Okay.
Triple H could be like his hero Ric Flair and say that he's going to retire, and then 6 months later, he just comes back again. But following storyline, it's easier for me to predict Triple H will win. Batista will not be satisfied at the outcome, and we'll get a rematch at SummerSlam. So okay. This isn't over at all. They're telling you it is so that they can pull the wool off of over your eyes when you get the rematch later. I have Triple H winning this.
Daniel Price says Batista's gone on record saying that he wants Triple H to be his last match. Plus, he's never beaten Batista at Mania.
He's never beaten Batista, period. Now.
I give him what he wants.
What he really wants. The reason why I have this at an 8 is, again, less is more. Batista gets winded before he even gets to the bottom of the fucking ramp.
Just doing his...
So, Triple H cut a couple of promos. Batista cut a couple of promos. You want to see them fight? You want to see them fight? Pay $9.99. And if you didn't need any of those promos, that SmackDown 1000 was all I needed. If that was the only thing we ever got on television, I would still be at an 8. Batista delivering that line that Triple H has done everything in the business except beat me. That was it. I was ready. I don't give a damn who's the face, who's the heel, what the snip is. I'm at an 8, and I'm still at an 8. And I got Triple H winning. Now, right. What the fuck are you laughing at?
Hector, you guys are still talking about WWE? Ugh. Damn it, Hector. You missed it. We talked about NXT. Then we talked about the ROH Supercard with New Japan. You fucking missed it, man. You, like, popped in and popped out. That's your fault.
Now let's get into the title matches. Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins, Universal title.
8? It would be a 10 if it wasn't for the fact that, oh, god damn, this title reign of Brock has just gotten nauseating. I don't know who to predict to win this. It kind of all depends on who all wins between Kofi and Bryan and who all wins between the girls, I think, in my mind. Because, like, I don't think Bryan, Ronda, and Brock are all losing to the babyface. You know, the babyface that everybody wants to win. I don't think WWE's giving us all three of those, you know? So, huh?
No, just three.
Okay. So, who out of them is actually going to take the fall? And is Brock going to? And if Brock wins, I'm going to be disappointed. And it's like, all right, Seth tried. Yeah, participation trophy. Here you go. Like, I don't know. So that's why I'm not as high as I probably could be. I don't know who to predict. Try to help me out here.
I'm not. Okay. I have three.
You have three. Okay. Yeah.
Here's where they lost me. Last Monday.
Yeah.
Regardless if it was a carbon copy promo that Heyman's been doing for the past 5 years. It still got the point across. Seth isn't worthy. Seth's going to get killed. Seth's huffing and puffing down the ramp. I'm thinking, holy fuck, Seth's about to beat the ever-loving fuck out of Brock Lesnar. What did Seth do? He got in the ring, huffing and puffing. He huffed and puffed towards Lesnar. He huffed and puffed past Lesnar to grab a microphone and proceeded to continue talking and started and gave out one or two lines that felt like they were fed to him, like the catchphrases to get the little kids to beg the parents to buy the merch. From that moment, I was almost completely checked out of this feud. The beatdown was good. The promo afterwards where Rollins was talking to Charlie, if that promo was supposed to happen anyway, there was no need for Seth to talk. We've been hearing them talk back and forth for 5, 6, 7 weeks. We needed Seth to just walk out there, start fighting. He didn't need to walk past him, grab a microphone, catch his breath, make sure his shirt is all coiffed, which is another red herring that ever since he chose Lesnar, he already got the Beast Slayer shirt. He didn't have a King Slayer shirt until after he slayed the King.
Oh, good
The
point.
Fact that he's already wearing that shirt leads me to believe that Seth isn't winning this. And the other factor is Vince McMahon. Now remember, just the character Vince McMahon is an asshole, but remember, Vince McMahon, the human being, is also an asshole.
Oh, I know where you got that.
He sent Roman away so that you could feel bad for him. But now that you like him, I'm going to get what I fucking wanted. So I'm not going to have Brock drop the belt to Seth. I'm going to have Brock finally drop the belt back to Roman.
Oh, that's a good fucking point. This is a good point. You know what? You're right. Lesnar's going to keep it. Lesnar's going to keep it. Okay, so now it's coming down to Kofi and Becky. So one of those two are going to give me what I want. One of those two, give me what I want. That's what it's going to be. It's not going to be this match. Good point. You just convinced me.
I'll tell you what. Transitioning, it's not going to be Kingston either. My anticipation for this match is at a 9, just because I know what Daniel Bryan can do. I know what Kofi can do. I'm appreciative that Kofi's getting an opportunity. Kofi Kingston is going to lose again because of the big man.
Daniel called you Brown Oliver.
Because Kofi in 6 weeks is going to win the Money in the Bank.
Oh,
if he's not going to get the title the fair way, he's going to take the title. And how can you take a title in WWE?
Money in the Bank.
You're going to ride off that high of Kofi getting fucked over at WrestleMania to the point that he has to be in that ladder match. Kofi wins the ladder match, and fuck it, he cashes it in that night. I have Bryan winning this. I said this before. From the second after that heel turn that Bryan became champion as the heel he is now, he's holding that belt for a long time, in my opinion.
I mean, they went through all the trouble for making the goddamn fucking belt.
He's keeping that belt for a while. Maybe an extra 6 weeks might not be as long, but maybe Kofi holds out till later. But I've got Bryan winning this. And I'm at a 9.
My anticipation level is also at a 9.
That promo on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Who, man, if you don't have sympathy for Kofi at this point, you're fucking racist. I mean, what can I tell you?
I liked the promo on SmackDown on Bryan's part. The promo on Kofi's part was emotional, and I like that raw emotion I saw out of Kofi.
He got lost a couple times.
He got lost, and he never got to his point. The wheels,
especially when he started talking all deep because he had something important to say, and then he's gonna stop so that he can remember while the fans start cheering his name.
And then
he goes back to that deep voice, like, "Oh,
I'm gonna have something important to say." And then he never said it.
And you know what part of that is?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have this complaint later on, but I think I know why.
Why?
The fact that USA is blue balling them now. They don't have the overrun anymore. They're ending it right at 10 o'clock on Mondays, right at 9 o'clock Central on Tuesdays. So you don't have that overrun where Kofi can say whatever he wants to without feeling rushed or pressured because he's on the clock, you know? I think if he had a couple more minutes, he would have been more comfortable and just said it how he wanted to say it in the first place, yeah. You know? You got Kofi winning this or you got Bryan winning
this? No, I like your idea about the money.
Just send me the check, stuff. WWE. I'll be a consultant.
Man, I don't know, because I was kind of leaning towards, yeah, Kofi is going to win this. What Robert says in the live chat, I think they have to pay off Kofi Mania ASAP. I think it's strike while the iron's hot, and if he loses at Mania, that iron's no longer hot. But if the match is epic enough, and if he almost wins by a nut hair, he loses. And
Harper returns to even the odds against the New Day.
Something where he like barely lost, then I'll be okay with it. And if he goes on to win the Money in the Bank and cashes it in, I'll be okay with it.
A briefcase full of fucking pancakes, people.
But I still want to go with my prediction. I'm still going to root for it. I still think they're going to give it to Kofi here for one other reason. It was a wrong choice back at WrestleMania 19 to have Booker lose all these years later. That still fucking haunts you. You know what? This right here. This right here, this is when the black man wins.
Ooh.
At Mania. What WrestleMania are we on right now? 35? 19 to 35. You're finally writing that wrong. Finally. Finally.
Ooh. Woo!
Finally.
Shots fired. Fuck me.
Kofi. I'm rooting for him. My official prediction is that I could see him not losing. The only way I'm going to be happy, I could see him not winning. The only way I'm going to be happy with him not winning, if it was just a nut hair away from winning and something not completely blown out 100% shenanigans, but something shenanigan-ish happens. But if it's just a regular match, 1, 2, 3, middle of the card, 15 minutes, boom, we're done, and Bryan wins for no reason, then it'd be like, oh, yeah, thanks, Triple H.
My anticipation level for Bobby Lashley against the Demon King, Finn Balor, is a fucking zero.
Woo! Zero. Okay. Do you have to expound on that?
I can.
Can I expound on it?
It's obvious it was never in the cards that Lesnar was going to drop the belt to Balor. So I could see why you don't have Balor dress up as a demon, so that he loses to Brock Lesnar, because then he kind of loses a lot of credibility in the Demon. But as a storyteller, as kayfabe, as a member of the audience,
yeah.
If that's the only chance you're ever going to get for the title, if you're not going to go all out and do whatever it takes or summon whatever demons you need to become Universal Champion, but you're going to break it out at fucking for Lashley? For the IC title? For the IC title? That you already kind of already had for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I'm a zero.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not a zero. Okay. I've wanted to always have, and I really still want to see the Demon at Mania. Okay. But I don't
should've had it last year.
I should have had it last year. I don't like the timing of it. I don't like the reasoning for it. I don't like that it's
so fucking inconsistent.
It is.
And it was never inconsistent in NXT. It was never inconsistent in New Japan. And the fact that it is now,
Yeah, but I still want to see the
Demon It's obvious Finn's winning.
No, it's not obvious. I think Lashley's winning.
No, Finn's winning.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Lashley. You could be wrong. My anticipation level is 4. I don't care about the match itself. I don't think this match they're going to be allowed to make it as good as I think it could be. Because Lashley, he's underrated. He can go. We know Finn can go. This match could be with the right build, with the right spotlight, with the right time, with the right care and planning. It could be a show stealer, but they're not putting that much time and planning and the best road agent, and they're not really writing shit out. It's like, hey, it's another Mania match, and that's it to fill out the card. And you know what? Let's just rely on the gimmick of the Demon to be the only special thing about this match. The match itself isn't going to be special.
Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio for the United States title. Last week, before I busted your bubble that this could have been on the pre-show, you were hyped for this. This was your dark horse match for WrestleMania.
Okay.
What's your anticipation level now for Joe and Rey?
Well, now that you told me that Rey might be hurt.
Assume he's not.
Assuming that Rey is not hurt, 8.
Okay.
If he's not hurt. There's not a whole lot writing on this match. There's not a whole lot of story behind it that much. It's just a nice match on paper. I want to see these two wrestle. Kind of a dream match.
Mm-hmm,
but WWE is not really treating it as a dream match. So
thankfully, that's... because you saw what happened last year with the dream match.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like they could have given it a little bit more pomp and circumstance, but they're not, which is fine, I guess. I'll still enjoy it, but again, they're probably not going to put as much care into the planning of the spots of the match, and the road agent probably is going to have less time than they would have liked to, a lot to the match, and it's just probably going to be another match.
On paper, dream match, 8. Just going off of that.
Yeah. Knowing that Rey is hurt,
I don't care.
Okay.
You can have the match that Joe had with Mustafa Ali last night on SmackDown, just a short and sweet, but with Rey, and I'd be satisfied with it.
Oh. Daniel just hurt my soul.
So I'm at an 8, not Joe winning. Who do you got winning? Before you get to him, who do you got winning?
Joe.
Okay.
Daniel says, Rey's just another generic luchador now. May as well put him with the Lucha House Party. Oh.
Oh, no, I've got one worse.
Oh.
If Rey's legit injured and can't perform at 100% at WrestleMania, I would fathom to say that his in-ring career is over.
Okay.
How many times in the last decade? I love Rey. I've met him several times. He's a good dude to talk to hang around with. Candle that burns twice as bright, you know?
Yeah.
And during WCW, during the beginning of WWE, dude, after Eddie Guerrero died and he got the world title, that was the peak of Rey Mysterio physically. He can't do this no more, dude. If he keeps getting hurt like this, he becomes unreliable. Like, fucking Aleister Black against Rey. I don't know if Rey's going to be there because, you know, he can always get hurt like yesterday, like out of the bathtub. Like, fuck, dude. Like, He's brittle, man. He's had his time. He's had his run. I wish he had the fucking match with Jushin Liger, but he was fucking hurt then too last year. So come on, man. It's done. Like I'm off the Rey train, dude.
How about this? Might add a little bit of intrigue. I don't know. I'm gonna ask. How about Hijo de Rey Mysterio?
Fuck that guy. Joe better choke out Dominic in front of 85,000 people. Like no, dude.
You don't give a shit about Dominic.
None. None.
Really? Why?
What has he done?
Well, nothing.
Exactly.
Okay. Just saying.
If he's like his dad, he's probably going to get hurt walking up the fucking steps in the
ring. Oh, son of a bear, dude.
Chat room. Is there anything else in the chat room before we move on?
Remember, his dad's Eddie Guerrero.
Touche. Too fucking shay.
God damn it. Let's see. Dominic's training to be a wrestler. Yes, yes, Daniel, we know.
This was teased online or somewhere during Raw. So I'm going to include this just as a possibility. Okay. Raw tag team titles. Revival defend against Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
What? Two. Fuck. Hawkins and Ryder? Suck a dick.
We got winning.
Use Hawkins and Ryder because why not? Of course they're going to do that to the Revival. Okay. They're going to break their losing streak of WrestleMania. Well, go suck a nut. Get the fuck out of it. Get off my team.
Get off my lawn. Usos, Blackashay, The Bar, Naka Rusev, Fatal 4-Way for the Blue Brand tag team titles. What is your anticipation?
Seven. Right. I like Blackashay.
Regardless.
But I don't want to mix it.
We got that part already. Yeah. You hungry.
Yeah. Especially if they wind up winning the tag belts on NXT. So I already talked about that. Mm-hmm. Nakamura, Rusev, they're a fun little team. But Rusev and Nakamura, well, more so Nakamura, haven't really done much anything recently other than the fact that they're in this team. So it's like, whatever, I don't care. Usos, I like the fact that they're getting punished because it makes sense storyline-wise. All right. The Bar, okay, The Bar. Again, Bar, Usos, you're keeping these guys together too much. I think it's going to be a good match. Nice little car wreck. Nice little four-way. It's going to be interesting to see all the flippy dippies that come out of it, but that's about it. Winners, Blackashay. They're going to win it. As much as I don't want that to happen, they're going to win it. And what's going to make me even more mad is I'm going to cheer because I like Blackashay. But I don't want Blackashay. I want Ricochet and Aleister Black separate. But I can't boo them.
I'm at about a 5.
Okay.
I really don't care much about this match, regardless of the story that the Usos did for how they ended up in this match, which I called last week.
You did. And it was good. It was logical. It made sense.
I think it's a drop ball because the promo after Fastlane where the Usos were backstage and they were trying to find out who their next contenders would be, and they teased the Hardy Boys. Because brothers versus brothers, that's an easy Mania match. Easy. Yeah. And the fact that the Hardys are stuck in the battle royal, and we're getting Nakamura, who last year was the Royal Rumble winner and wrestled at WrestleMania. And now he's in this tag match.
Daniel Price said, change her name to Dutch Chocolate. God damn. It works. It fits. Dutch Chocolate.
I have Nakamura and Rusev winning this.
Okay, that's what Robert Medlin's hoping for.
Yeah. I think this should be the WrestleMania where a lot of the heels get over. Okay. Taking the people and letting the people go home happy. They're not going to go home happy. It's 38 degrees and it's going to be fucking raining. Fuck, let all the heels win. I don't give a shit.
It's an open air stadium, yep. Right? Ooh, fuck that.
That's why when I 2 weeks ago when I started looking at the forecast, I knew I made the right decision by not going to Mania. Yeah. Even if the card was everything I ever wanted. I ain't got time for that shit freezing out in the goddamn cold. Let's stick with the tag. The Boss Hug Connection against Nia and Tamina against the Iconics versus the Divas of Doom.
Another four-way for a tag team. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Six. This particular title hasn't had enough time in the oven for me to care about it too much, especially with Nia and Tamina involved again. All right. Iconics. Oh, God, no. I know a lot of people like the Iconics and think they're entertaining. I just find them annoying.
That working you. Beth, we're getting work to do a shoot, brother.
I know, but I still don't like them. Beth and Natalya. That's interesting. I like to see Beth, you know, back. I like that. And then the Boston Hook Connection. All right, fine. I think Boston Hook Connection might retain.
I'm at a 0.
Okay.
two of these teams don't even belong in this match. I said this a couple weeks ago. Nia and Tamina against the Divas of Doom should be its own match.
Okay.
On a pay-per-view, not on Raw, thrown away in on the third hour by a bunch of nonsense. You start the division, you start the championship by a six-team elimination chamber, not a tournament to get a final team versus team. And then the next pay-per-view, you're defending it against a team that not only was in that chamber, but has been feuding with for months before these titles even came about.
All right.
And now we're at Mania. Not only is that team still there, but you're adding another team that was already in the chamber and a new team out of nowhere that has no fucking business being in this match. What is zero?
Okay.
I have no fucks to give. And I said last week, I want the Iconics to win it. Because I think right now, Sasha and Bayley, they were a too obvious team. And they never fucking made up their mind. The creative never made up their mind. Are they hating each other? Is it like, are they on their periods, but they're not syncing? And it's like, I don't get this. Like, it was, the whole thing was pointless. They should have given it to a heel team to start off with for the faces to chase and have them win it at Mania.
Yeah.
So I'm at a zero for this. I got the Iconics winning, but other than that, I really don't give a fuck about this match.
Porsche says, and they are doing their jobs in regards to the Iconics. Yeah, I don't know.
Main event time.
Main event.
Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair. Winner take all. Raw and SmackDown women's titles. First time ever. Hopefully this is the last time we say this because they kept saying it on SmackDown. First time ever, 18-person tag, mixed tag. Ah,
what the fuck was that? Why? 18-person?
I didn't mixed even
tag.
I didn't what? Even watch when the match ended because all I noticed was people getting thrown over the ring like they were in the Battle Royal already.
And it wasn't a battle, like, what? It was no contest that turned into a Battle Royal for no reason. That was just terrible.
First time ever, women main eventing the show. Your anticipation level.
I want to be at a fucking 12. And I'm at a 9.5. If you asked me before Monday, I probably would have been at an 8. Monday actually brought it up a little bit for me. I kind of liked all the shenanigans and the kerfuffle, and they finally made it official that it's going to be winner take all. Okay, cool. I can live with that. I don't know about the repercussions after. That's probably the part that's keeping me from a 10 or an 11 because that could be problematic. One girl holding both of the blue and the red one. I would have rather have had one-on-one for the red and one-on-one for the blue, but whatever, this is where we are. I'm still getting a compelling story between all three of these girls, and it took me a while to come around to Charlotte. But the kerfuffle on Raw, or where they got all arrested, was it Raw or SmackDown?
Raw.
Whatever, Raw. That kind of brought me around to, all right, now Charlotte's in on this. They all bonded together by getting themselves arrested and beating up some cops together. I mean, nothing brings you together like fighting a bunch of cops. So
they all just get along.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm back around. I'm back around. So I'm still getting my Becky versus Charlotte. Becky versus Ronda. You got Charlotte thrown in there, but I'm okay with it now. It's ending for the main event, and I have my high fucking hopes. Becky is winning this.
That's striking while the iron's hot.
That is. But you have to let Becky win this. If you're not going to have Rollins win anything, okay, whatever. I don't care. If you're not going to have Kofi win anything, maybe you should have. But if you don't have Becky win, fuck that. Like, that is the worst thing you could do at this Mania. Becky has to win all this. Becky has to win this, and I am so ready for it. I've been waiting for this for so long with Becky. And it, yes, I wish I was at a 12 like how I thought I was going to be. I'm at a 9.5 because there's a few apprehensions. But Becky, fucking Becky, and she's winning. Go, sir. Rain on my parade.
I'm going to start off with a good foundation before I wreck shop here.
All right.
That segment on Raw, post-match from the tag, girls beating on each other, whatever the fuck happened at the backstage parking lot, that was
one of the best segments on Raw in the past 5 years.
Okay.
And then following it up on SmackDown with Becky coming out of the same police car to walk in the building. That is something Stone Cold Steve Austin would do.
Yeah, it was still stupid, but it was funny. I liked it.
However, how I mentioned earlier in the segment with Kofi,
yeah,
where USA is not letting them do the overrun anymore.
Right.
If... I'm saying that's the best Raw segment in 5 years.
Why didn't it end Raw?
Why didn't it end Raw?
It should have. I agree.
The segment with the three women that you just advertised is ending the biggest pay-per-view of the year. I'm going to say this one more fucking time for the first time ever. Nothing. Nothing. On that third hour, held up. Nothing.
Nothing should have.
That crowd was burnt. That crowd was gassed. And you're going to tell me you're ending the go home of Raw with Baron fucking Corbin injuring Rey Mysterio? That crowd didn't want any of that shit. None of it. In 4 weeks, go back on the network, watch this last hour of Raw for the go home of Mania. It's crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets! The fact that the booking didn't have enough sense to end what was probably their hottest segment, their hottest rivalry going on, the rivalry that they've been harping on to set records, to get everyone involved,
yeah,
not end the show, gives me the most confidence ever to say to you in front of everyone watching it on the telly, and everyone listening on iTunes, eventually, what I said from the very fucking beginning,
which is
my anticipation for this triple threat match is at a fucking zero.
Wow. No. No, zero.
I'm happy. Zero. I'm happy for the women that are in the main event. I'm happy that they're in this position. I'm happy that the whole division or the whole women's roster, revolution, evolution, whatever you want to call it, it's getting its just due. It deserves to be where it is. But you mean to tell me it's at where it needs to be at the expense of Asuka? Do you mean to tell me that it's in here at the addition of Charlotte? Do you mean to tell me that this is how we ended up here? I am at a zero. And I told this to Travis, and I told this to Scott, and I'm telling it to everybody else. As soon as that match starts, as soon as those entrances happen, I'm going home. I'm not even watching it. Nothing.
Just because the segment on Raw didn't end Raw.
No, everything.
Everything?
That was just like the rudder to the ship for my confidence that I knew from the very beginning. We already had Charlotte versus Ronda at Survivor Series. Eh. We could have had Charlotte Asuka too, but you give the belt to Charlotte the week before Mania. Eh. And Becky, the person that everybody wants to see, that deserved the opportunity. We're having it one-on-one. Finally, the match that we never got at Survivor Series. We're going to just add
Charlotte. All right. Back up. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh, all right.
So you're at a zero for this match.
The anticipation for this match.
Yeah. You're not going to watch this particular match.
Not live.
Okay. No. Okay.
I'll probably watch it before we record next week.
Okay. All right. So that was my first question. Are you gonna
watch this? Shit's 8.5 hours long.
Okay. Are you gonna watch this at all? The answer is yes. Yeah, okay, cool. Let me ask you something else. Does this mean that you're a like level or whatever for Becky? Is that a zero too?
No, hell no. I bought her fucking shirt. I'm wearing it over there.
Okay, what about Charlotte?
Fuck, man. Fuck those bongos. No.
Okay, what about Ronda?
That's interesting. I still like Ronda, even though she's a heel. I like her heel stuff because it's coming off
she sounds like somebody from Austin that feels like she's better than everyone else.
All right. Do you think the match itself, forget the build and the whatever, the match itself, ding, ding, between the bells, is the match itself going to be good?
That's hard to answer because
no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Let me explain. No, it is. Let me explain why. All
right.
There is one, two.
Finally here.
There will have already been two multi-person matches for titles.
I don't give a damn about the rest of the card. I do.
Okay. You've been harping about how one thing affects the other from TakeOver. Now
I know. I'm asking. In a vacuum. In a vacuum. Just this match, bell to bell. What do you think about it? In a vacuum. Don't take in the rest. Okay.
It could be the best fucking match on paper I've ever seen. But if I'm already like, I kind of don't want to watch this. Why are people making me watch this? Well, oh, everybody's telling me it's the best shit than sliced bread. You know what we do when we get hyped up?
I get it.
So you're already like not going to want to watch it. And I'm already there because that's what everything in the last 4 months of WWE television has led me to believe. Gotcha. That I'm supposed to care about this match more than anything ever, and I really fucking don't at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm at a zero for the main event.
All right. Cool.
What up, man? What's up,
Scott? Ah, Scott the Scott. Finally, we've got some white meat in here. God damn. Okay. Your anticipation level for the whole McGillicuddy, the whole thing, WrestleMania. Give me a number.
Five.
Five. Okay.
If I was there, five. This ain't gonna have the crisp pass where, oh, if I'm gonna be there, everything's automatically a 10, even if it's shit on a stick. Yeah. No, this, if I was there, this is creeping towards WrestleMania 25 territory where I might be asking for my refund when I walk out that cold ass building.
Okay.
So even if I was there, I would still be at a five.
All right.
You.
I'm going to go with about a seven. A lot of that has to do with the main event. A lot of it also has to do that it's fucking WrestleMania. So
does this feel like WrestleMania season to you?
Today it started to hit me.
Three days before me.
Well, I know, but that's how it has been for the last few years, too. It's not until Mania fucking happens that I'm like, oh, fuck, it's Mania. You know, but it started to hit me earlier today, knowing that we were going to do this show and, you know, all that. Like, earlier today, it started hitting me. I'm like, fuck, we're in WrestleMania season. When I was trying to make plans with my coworkers for this weekend, hey, you know, we're going to go out, go eat. You want to come on Friday? Fuck yeah, I'll come. And I was like, wait, no, TakeOver. Sorry, guys. I got shit to do. And, like, that's when it hit me. And I was like, nope. It's Mania season, baby, and I'm coming around. I'm there. It feels like it for me. Now, two other things I want to ask you about in regards to Mania. One.
Who's interrupting Elias?
No. Oh, well, okay, three things. Who's interrupting Elias? One.
I think I find it kind of a red herring that every segment on SmackDown, every commercial break on SmackDown involved proper number 12. That Irish whiskey from the oldest distillery by Conor McGregor.
Okay.
And I think that happened on Raw too.
You think?
Because we fast-forwarded a lot of commercials during Raw, and I still saw that ugly-ass Irish face on that television.
So you think he's going to interrupt?
So I'm thinking Conor McGregor's going to interrupt fucking Elias. All right.
Yeah, okay. Now, question number two.
What about you?
I don't know who's going to interrupt. Fucking honky-tonk man. I don't know. Hopefully nobody interrupts him. Hopefully he gets to do an entire song and, like, that's it. And, like, all right.
No, Bruce Springsteen shows up and they're legit friends. They sing The Wrestler together.
Goddamn. All right, question number two. Over, under, yes or no, the odds. Are we getting a Taker sighting at Mania? Taker showing up anywhere? I'm going to say no. Taker doesn't show up unless he's advertised. And he's not advertised, so thank goodness we're not seeing Taker at this year's Mania.
No.
No?
I don't. You know what? It's not that I don't want to see him, but there isn't anywhere in this thing where he would fit.
There's already 17 goddamn matches. WrestleMania is like 3 days long already. So, no, I don't need a Taker sighting to, you know,
question number three.
Okay.
What was it?
Oh, I thought you were going to pose me a question. Question number three. John Cena sighting. Cena showing up somewhere. If so, what's he doing?
It's too late now. If anything, okay. I would have had Ray cut a promo with his kid in the ring. Samoa Joe hurt Ray's ankle. And then we get Cena fill in for Cena Joe for the U.S. title at Mania.
Not filling with in for some Corbin. Build.
Fuck that shit. No.
Okay.
No.
Well, because there's a lot of people saying that they would have had Cena versus Kurt.
I would have, if the original plan was legit, I would have loved to have seen what Cena versus Lars Sullivan would have looked like.
Okay.
But no, I don't see Cena anywhere this season.
Okay.
No.
All right, so that's it.
But no, there's a lot more stuff, man.
Oh shit.
You know, Jay Lethal made that suggestion. You know, there's so much wrestling going on. It shouldn't be WrestleMania weekend anymore. It should just be wrestling weekend.
Okay.
And here's some proof of the pudding. Thursday in New York, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport.
Okay.
Last year was Matt Riddle's Bloodsport, but now Matt Riddle's in NXT. Co-main event in a wrestling match, Dan the Beast Severn.
Okay.
Against Frank Mir.
Oh, okay.
The guy that beat Brock Lesnar in his first MMA match lost to Lesnar in the second Lesnar's rematch. The main event, Josh Barnett, commentator from New Japan, against Minoru Suzuki.
Okay.
WrestleCon Super Show, Will Ospreay against Bandito.
Hey, are you going to the Super Show? Are you going to touch Joey Ryan's dick?
No. I'm touching mine right now and it's free.
Scott, what about you? You want to go touch Joey Ryan's dick?
You can touch my dick for free. And you're here.
Oh, God.
Zack Sabre Jr. against Shane Strickland.
Who's Shane Strickland?
Killshot?
Killshot.
Oh.
There we go.
All right. I'm on board.
Impact, United We Stand, also on Thursday. RVD and Sabu. RVD just signed with Impact today. Mm. Dream match against the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon and Phoenix.
All right. All right.
Tessa Blanchard against Joey Ryan in an intergender match.
Oh, but she's going to touch his dick in that match.
Touch my dick for
free. You know what? She can touch my dick for free, too.
There you go.
Jake Crist, Pat Buck from WrestlePro, Cotto Brazil from MLW, Johnny Impact, Jack Evans, and Dante Fox in an Ultimate X match.
Wow. Yes, please.
He perked up, I guess, first he heard that shit, too. Thursday, Evolve 125. The champion, Austin Theory, against the challenger, Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, okay.
Grudge match, Shane Strickland
against
Montez Ford from the Street Profits.
Really? Okay.
Friday, MLW, Battle Riot number 2. Blood match, Daga against Low-Ki. Low-Ki busted Daga's ear, and he lost. He was gone for a couple months. And Battle Riot 2 is a 40-man battle royal, Pentagon, Phoenix, La Park, L.A. Park, Eco de L.A. Park, a bunch of other guys. Rev Pro on Friday.
God damn.
Will Ospreay and Hiroshi Tanahashi against Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. Friday, Battle in the Big Apple from WrestleCon. LAX against the New Heart Foundation, Teddy Hart and Daddy Boy Jr.
All right.
Main event.
Damn.
Main event. Brian Cage against Masato Tanaka from ECW.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's WrestleMania weekend.
Son of a bitch. And we're not even talking about Monday.
And we're not talking Kaiju Big Battle. We're not talking DDT. We're not talking all the other. There's more. There's a lot more.
Yeah.
And we're not talking Raw or SmackDown or 205.
Yeah.
And any call-ups post-WrestleMania.
Fuck. Well, we'll talk about that next week once everything is back and we'll say, hey, this is what happened. But son of a bitch. All right. Robert says, maybe The Rock interrupts Elias. Huh? Mm-hmm. Well,
nah.
Okay.
All these independent wrestlers that we just mouthed off, how many of them do you think have health insurance?
Maybe a few of them.
85 people at least are going to be in the WWE locker room for WrestleMania.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people talking about the John Oliver piece.
Yes.
That aired on Sunday.
Yes.
You
yes.
saw it 2 hours ago.
I did.
What'd you think?
I really like John Oliver, first of all.
As do I.
Also, I really like wrestling. So
wrestling's better than all the things you
like. Wrestling is, yes, indeed. I tend to agree with a lot of the stuff John Oliver said. I do also see that there was a lot of stuff that was taken when wrestling was at its worst sometimes. Like a lot of the stuff that was referenced, like you even said, 2003. You know, like
Wrestling with Shadows.
The Wrestling with Shadow. Yeah, when Vince
Real
was getting,
Talk on 2003, 2004.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff from like damn near 15 years ago, you know? And it's like, okay, yeah. And has WWE come a long way? Yes, it has. Now, when he was bringing up the wellness policy, yes, it's a step in the right direction. But I do agree that what John Oliver was saying, it's not necessarily enough. Okay, cool. I get it. It's not necessarily enough. And I know that when he first started it, he prefaced all this by saying that the reason why we're talking about WWE is because they're the biggest dogs in your yard. But it's not just WWE.
Especially now.
Everybody has that same formula of it being independent contractors. All the promotions, all over the world, everywhere.
Except? One of the main reasons during the Attitude Era that a lot of people jumped ship to WCW was because they weren't independent contractors. They were employees.
Okay.
They were getting benefits. They were getting health insurance. They were able to get, besides the big money, they were able to get stuff to keep them healthy. That's why you don't see a lot of the WCW guys in clips like this, because during their tenure, they were getting their run. We saw Roddy Piper talking about how he didn't make 65. He couldn't touch his pension.
Yeah.
But he wasn't having those complaints when he was in WCW. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when Ventura was trying to get the roster unionized for WrestleMania 2, Hogan found out, and he's the one that snitched to McMahon. And that's how McMahon found out. That's how they squashed all that shit before they even could ever do anything.
Yeah.
Now, like you mentioned, with the fans being the guy, people that are persuasive enough that Vince listens to.
Do you think that we could really, like, get enough motherfucking fans to care enough to actually mobilize to be vocal enough to where Vince would listen to us? Because
if anything, Monday.
Okay, but our
smaller audience, everybody's already in the know. You're more audible there.
John Oliver himself even pointed it out, like, hey, look, we're booing the shit out of Roman. And that was from the Raw after WrestleMania, after he beat Taker. And what did that get us? Nothing. The only thing that's turned Roman face has been leukemia, you know?
And that's questionable.
Yeah, you know, and so for John Oliver to say, hey, look, the fans do their own thing, and Vince listens to the fans, that's a two-part statement. And the second part isn't necessarily all the way true. Like, we do our own thing, and we have our own opinions, but that doesn't necessarily mean Vince listens to it. So even if we can get all of the fucking fans of the Raw after Mania cheer, give them health care, like, it's not going to fucking happen. Right? Am I right? Am I wrong? Can we get everybody in there and say, give them health care? Like, can that happen? Like, is any fans going to care enough for that?
What about off-season?
Now, that's something that's interesting.
Because I have an idea.
Okay.
But I'll give you a piece.
I wouldn't mind seeing it for the sake of the wrestlers. Does that mean less wrestling on my TV? Yeah, that sucks. But boo-hoo me. Whatever. I don't care. But it's less money in the pocket for this big old corporation as well to have an off-season. So is it financially feasible? And is it maybe not even feasible? Is it profitable? I don't know, but that's not my headache to handle. But that makes me think that it ain't never going to happen. Because that's like saying, hey, why doesn't McDonald's just sell less burgers? They're not going to stop selling burgers. You know, you can't tell them, hey, don't sell burgers fucking between August and September. They're going to still do it, you know? So I doubt it'll ever happen. But if it does, good for the wrestlers, I'd say. Give you a piece.
An off season? No.
Okay.
However, one of my favorite episodes of Raw happened a couple of years ago. I think it was the night after the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Where that arena was closed because of a snowstorm.
So instead of having actual wrestling, they showed highlights and recaps of the pay-per-view and of things leading up to the pay-per-view. And they even had wrestlers in the WWE studios to do segments face-to-face. Mm. Remember that Daniel Bryan promo? And then as he was leaving, Lesnar and Heyman came in and they sat down to do their promo?
Yeah.
You can do, just so you can track it as a business, 1 week off or a week and a half off every quarter. And by that, I mean no house shows at all.
Okay.
SmackDown on Friday. Well, Friday and then that week, nothing. No house shows. You do pre-tape for Raw. Do promos, interviews, one-on-one, face-to-face, so that the wrestlers actually have at least 7 days to themselves.
Yeah, not two or house shows.
Not two or three. Not all of them.
Yeah.
You still need house shows because the fans in Timbuktu are never going to get their audience. They're never going to get to see wrestling. They're going to have to travel to Dallas, San Antonio, Austin.
Good old Tyler, Texas. Yeah.
Houston. Yeah. So you have to have house shows. But do you have to have so many, especially when you're three brands touring?
Right.
You know, you can have at least a whole week off every quarter so that wrestlers can actually relax, unwind, rest, bathe in ice, hyperbaric chamber, whatever you need to do, smoke a blunt, whatever you need to do, depending what state you're in, to ease you so that you don't have to rely on medication to the point where you get addicted, to the point where WWF will pay for your rehab. But like they said in the piece, they're not acknowledging how to avoid it in the first place for you to get to B, C, D, E, and then to F before you get to rehab. You know, so I think an entire week off, with 1 week off a quarter in general,
would help. You know what? That could be feasible if like you actually
raise the tickets price $5 on every ticket for every other event that you do, and just give the wrestlers a week off a month.
Yeah.
A week off a quarter. So you could track it fiscally that the because if you have one month off in a quarter, you're going to see that stock. You're going to see the numbers in business just lit. And then you want it to be consistent. So it's just 1 week.
Yeah.
1 week every quarter.
And you could probably do that.
They're fucking humans, dude. Give them fucking Christmas off.
That's what I was going to say.
Or Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah.
Especially after Survivor Series, you've done fucking 5,000 shows in that 1 weekend. Fuck, give them a fucking week off.
Or if you do have an off season, it could be between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble. Because all that shit that happens between the actual holidays, Thanksgiving, you know, November, December, all of that is usually your experiment time anyway, where you're just like, whatever, we'll just put the title on Jeff Hardy for no reason. You know, like that kind of shit anyway. So maybe that would be the time to do it. Or if you want to take your route where it's just a week, all right, boom, the week after Mania. And then the week after SummerSlam, the week after Survivor Series, boom, boom, boom. There you go. You got
the week after Elimination Chamber, especially if you've been in the fucking chamber.
Oh, God, yeah.
The week after Hell in a Cell, if you've been in fucking Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe that is a little bit more feasible without taking too much money out of your own pocket by, like I said, stop having McDonald's sell burgers, you know? I don't know. Would I be behind them if they did it? Yes, because I too, like John Oliver said, I would like to see my favorites live to be 60, 70, 80. Or above. You know, I would like to see that.
Walking with their grandchildren, being able to turn in a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, like that'd be fucking cool. You know, like a lot of these wrestlers that just die in their 40s, 50s, you know, even that is like too soon, you know? I mean, the real tragic ones old in their 30s and stuff, you know, but like, yeah, like. Yeah. Take care of them.
That's it, man.
That's it?
That's it for the wrestling.
Woo! WrestleMania weekend, baby. All right, so we'll be back next Wednesday with all of our recap, what we thought about NXT, what we thought about Mania, what we thought about Ring of Honor Super Show, all that shit. The Raw after, the SmackDown after. Fuck! Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, After WrestleMania podcast, we decided to do an HWR shakeup. And Travis said, see you, bitches.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We're going to have another HWR shakeup next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think they're ready?
I don't know, man.
You think you're ready?
I don't know, man.
Change is a coming.
Basically. don't get too riled up just yet, kiddos. We haven't even fucking finalized everything, but yeah.
On that note.
Yep. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Bite my tongue, bite my time, wearing a warning sign. Wait till the world is mine. Visions I vandalize, cold in my kingdom size. Fell for these ocean eyes. You should see me in a crowd. I'm gonna run, there's nothing to hide. One by one, you should see me in a crowd. Your silence is my favorite sound. Watch me make them bow. One by one.
You good?
Almost.
Daniel wanted to know what body organs did you sell to go over to New York this week?
No, he needs to ask me what body organs I sold to get tickets to see S&M, San Francisco Symphony, and Metallica perform at Chase Center in September in San Francisco. Why do you think I'm coughing so much?
He sold his lung.
Just a one lung. A lung.
Just one.
Just like people survive on one kidney, one liver, one lung.
One testicle.
I don't need any of them. They just get in the way.
Click the button.
Well, let's little B-roll real quick, because we talked about this before we got here.
All right.
The AAF went out of business.
Oh, yeah. We did talk about
the Alliance of American Football, one of the two competing brands for the NFL.
Right.
Competing, supplementing, whatever they want to call themselves.
Right.
2 weeks left in the regular season, 14 playoff that would have lasted two more weeks. Out of business. How do you think the XFL will do next year? Seeing that happen.
Well, this could go one of two ways. Either the XFL is going to see all the shit that the AAF did wrong and use that as a good case study to learn, because Vince already has his lessons that he learned from the XFL years and years ago.
Without someone else fucking up.
Right. But now someone else done fucked up too. And just in the same... decade this time.
Yeah.
As when you're trying this, the year before. So hopefully they can learn from it. So either you could take it that way where you can, see what they did wrong, see what you did wrong decades ago, and try to fix it and be a little bit more cautious. Or they're going to look at this and panic and go, oh my God, the market is bad. So and they're going to go in with a defeatist mentality and they're going to roll over and die.
I think you're right on that page where Vince already had learned from his mistakes long before the AAF came in. Payroll, most definitely, before anything else. The AAF had guys on three-year contracts.
Okay.
$70,000 the first year, $80,000 the second year, and $100,000 the third year, because they assume growth like a business. You start small and grow from there. Even from the beginning, Vince had already had a set amount for everyone. And you get a little more if you win. So it gave the incentive for you to actually play as opposed to just sitting around. When Vince had the open call when he first announced that the XFL was coming and fans were calling in and asking all these questions about, hey, what about Kaepernick? Hey, how about Manziel? Hey, about criminal past and all that stuff. And he had a hard stance, got kind of mirrored.
Where he said no.
Kind of mirrored what Donald Trump was expecting out of the NFL.
Okay.
But when Manziel showed up, for that week and a half, everybody was talking about fucking wanted to watch that game.
Yeah.
The attendance in the teams in the places like San Diego, the Fleet, their attendance was up every game, because they just lost the Chargers.
Right.
San Antonio, their attendance was going up.
Yeah, who's never had a football team?
They had the Saints for a bit during Katrina.
Right.
Not
their own team.
There is, so it looks like there is some kind of a market for football. They had consistent ratings on CBS and on the NFL network. It was
500,000, 600,000 per game.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of those games kind of fucking suck. But football's football. Cold pizza is still good. It's pizza. Doesn't matter if it's cold. Doesn't matter if it's deep dish. Doesn't matter. Maybe vegan. I don't know. But pizza's pizza. So football is football. You know, there was still a market for it. I still don't know where Vince is going to air this shit. That hasn't been announced yet. I'm not sure if he's going to go back to – if he's going to partner with Dick Ebersol again, knowing that his son beat him to it and tried doing the F without him, you know, or they phased him out or whatever. But I don't think the death of the AF did anything either way to the XFL. I think they already know what they're going to do,
yeah,
regardless. And they're going to just hope that they do better than fucking.
Well, you know, Vince, like,
he's stubborn as fuck.
He's stubborn. He's not going to let the failures of a different company other than his, you know, affect his own business to an extent, different wrestling companies have come and gone several times over, you know, even his biggest threat, you know, came and went twice. If you count TNA, and if you think TNA is gone, which I know technically they're not, but as a threat, as a legitimate threat, they're just as harmless as the NWA is. So if you could kind of look at it through that mindset that Vince may have, he might have I don't give a fuck what they did. We're better than them anyway. So maybe he won't even care what happened with the AAF.
I don't think he's going to care.
But hopefully he could learn a little bit from whatever the mistakes were that they did. One of the things that I think may have hurt the AAF, and this was from me listening Monday morning to Sports Radio 610, where they were talking a little bit about it. And I only caught like a couple of snippets here and there because I was on my way to work and just flipping between the channels, that the owners of the different companies in the AAF were the ones that panicked. Because they saw that they weren't turning profits as quickly as they wanted to. And then they got cold feet, and that's what crumbled everything. Whereas, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that XFL is not going to have private owners for the franchises.
No, Vince
owns
the Alpha Entertainment. Under Alpha Entertainment, Vince is the one guy.
Yeah, so
just like
Vince probably isn't going to spook as easily. Especially knowing that that's what happened to AAF and that's what happened to XFL, he's probably not afraid of it. And probably is like, okay, well, we're losing the first year or two, not making any profit. He may stick with it if he sees, you know, revenue growth. Which, okay, cool. You know, maybe they won't get
Patience.
Yeah,
startups like that, you're never going to see profit in the first year, maybe even the second year. But the fact that there were numbers showing that there was actually growth there, I think they just got paranoid because they wanted the association with the NFL Players Association so bad.
Yeah.
And they threatened to close it to see if they would bite, and they weren't even hungry for it at all. Like, they called their bluff, and now they're fucked, basically. So.
Daniel Price says Vince has an orange friend that he could use to throw a smear campaign at the XFL. Real Patriots, watch the XFL. It's going to be huge.
God damn it. You iTunes people, I'm probably not gonna have this podcast uploaded before Mania, maybe, but I left you something in the feed, so I hope you guys like it. It's a compilation of the Mania Madness from 2015 that you and I and Travis did.
That was nice.
Rankings since, because I remember that when we did that tournament,
yeah,
there were so many matches in Mania that year, we weren't looking forward to much of anything. So I figured I'd throw that up there. I had a lot of free time while I was sick.
Yeah.
So that's it, man. I'm ready. What are we doing? Are we sleeping or are we going to the airport right now?
We can chill for a little while.
All right. Man. All right. Well, yeah.
Do I need to leave you two alone?
We got 6 hours of sleep.
Join us. Woo!
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Drop trial. I'm with us.
God damn.
Tell me what you want. What you really want.
Give me what I want.
Give me what I want.
Give me what I want.